is look, I'm back and we're back and we're doing our show again. This is the Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about Deadpool 2. We're talking about Logan. We're talking about the Defenders and all that other stuff that came out last week. So sit right there. We'll be right back in a second. Bye.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk.
That's very strong.
I'm so bad.
Like, no, that was so strong.
But you know what? For having taken out, like, I haven't done that in, like, what, 4 weeks, five weeks? So,
yeah,
like, not too bad.
I maintain it's my favorite part, and I love that it's your least favorite part. It's still, like, every week it makes me happy because I go, it's the one thing that I feel confident in doing. And you're like,
I'm, like, freaking out.
Reading the thing, for some reason, as soon as I read on air, I'm like, remember the English language? No, you don't. And you're like, la 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 la. So it's just, it's good. Strengths.
Strengths.
Strengths. You can see it on air. That's why we're a team. The three of us. She's good at reading Twitter. I'm not.
Yeah,
you're
I can't.
Good at reading words. I'm not.
I think I just crushed the other mic.
Vamping about nothing? This guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're very good at vamping about nothing.
It's an art.
You've got nothing in your head. Making fun of Koi. Anyway, hey, everybody. We're the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 114 coming to you live from Hell's Kitchen. I thought appropriate. You know, all the Defenders talk doing today. So, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. On Twitter, we are at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show, telling people about our live chat, Doom will retweet you from his booth.
Doom is very quiet today. All right, there we go.
There we go. Hey. Hi, Doom.
Yeah, it's like you were a pensive Doom.
I think the audio board is already sad.
Aww. Because it's your last day.
I know. I'll still retweet you guys.
Yes.
You retweet us for today, but not next week. Next week, you're going to be busy at another job.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm going to stick around in a certain way. Doom is issuing an edict that I will never stop talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The ghost of Doom lives on always.
we talked to you before the show, Doom, about every single week you're going to send us a Doom's Minute on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Doom's Minute.
And it's only going to be 1 minute, right, Doom?
I'm only...
you will never live that down.
Hard cuts.
I believe that that Doctor Strange used the time gem to limit me to 60 seconds of talking.
Exactly. There. Exactly. This Doctor Strange. Maybe the one in the box. I don't know.
Who looks or
maybe
fantastic.
I think the one behind the mic.
Yeah, behind the mic. I'm the Doctor Strange.
I love that Funko Pop. Yeah, it's Doctor Strange.
Funko Pop.
I went to Toys R Us yesterday because I'm an adult. Yeah. And they had a beautiful, like, completely translucent Doctor Strange Marvel Legends figure.
Oh,
and
dude, I know. I've got that one.
It was a great moment to just realize how far we've come.
I've got that one. It's a good one. I've got that with the Book of the Vishanti that I got at the Comic-Con exclusive from a couple years ago.
It was just cool to see it at Toys R Us. Just like...
Anyway, I am Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined, as always, by Koi Jandreau at Coyjandreau, and Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMccarty.
Yeah, that's how
I think the Y is still... I'm still getting the Y wrong. Anyway, we've got Voice of Doom, Colt Bedos tweeting from the Starjammer, as usual, and let's get into the news!
Theme song solo. This is what happened in New Orleans. Matt just lost his mind, came back, theming up.
Yes.
Oh my god, you guys, I was so sick in New Orleans. It was so funny.
You were sick?
Really?
Oh, man.
Did you eat bad gumbo?
No, I was sick flying out. Like, I had like a really bad cold flying out.
Oh no. Yeah, but everybody was sick over the holidays.
Oh my god. And then it was like the coldest it's ever been in New Orleans. Everyone there was like, we've never experienced cold like this. And I was like, great, great.
Oh, thanks.
And it was so funny because we landed. They're like, yeah, it's been beautiful until today. And we're like, good. And they're like, but don't worry, like next Monday it clears up. We're like, we fly back that night, like late
convenient.
That night.
Appreciate
great. Thanks,
nice.
New Orleans.
Perfect.
This is why they delayed Gambit. This is why.
But other than that, New Orleans is like one of the most amazing cities, and Lafitte's Blacksmith Bar is probably one of the best bars I've ever been to. So
fantastic. I might be going on that road trip of mine, and I might go to New Orleans.
Lafitte's. Hey, everybody, Marvel! Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop, the oldest bar, as far as I know, the oldest bar in North America. It was like a pirate's bar in the
1700s. Oh, I'm just going to walk around Gambit quoting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm horrible. I'm going to be the worst person in Orleans.
I'm sure you'll be the first person to ever do that.
All right. What's a Gambit?
Marvel news!
Corey, let's talk about... you got to get some beignets when you're down.
Oh, dude, oh, beignets. Yeah.
Doom demands
from Captain... Yeah. Doom demands beignets. You should go to Café Dumont.
Oh, should I?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's... That place is known for their...
if anyone's watching from New Orleans, tell me where to go. I might road trip across the country next week, so I might just randomly shout out Marvelites to help me find things of glory.
Yeah. All right. let's talk Marvel now that we're like 30 minutes into the show. Logan started... So remember... I don't even know if we had a chance to talk about this because it started, I think, after we went off the air, the 1974 Frames of Logan.
I mean, I talked about it, but you don't watch the shows that I did.
Yeah, I don't. Last week.
We might have talked about it.
Coy confirms.
Pretty much handled it.
Coy confirms that Matt Key doesn't watch the show.
I could have confirmed that Marvel and Fox had some sort of deal, but that'd make me a liar.
Coy confirms him. 1974 Frames of Logan. By the way, I love that they're doing the 1974 because that was... the year that like Wolverine first hit comics and officially Hulk at 181 is his first full appearance, but officially Hulk 180, he appeared on the very back page. That's his technically his first appearance. But Hulk 181 is the one that everyone goes for. That's the one with
him on
the... I
love that well actually moment.
Let me explain Wolverine to all you guys.
And that they're setting it in 2024, which is exactly 50 years after the debut, which I love.
Yeah, which very is nice. Super, super cool. Anyway, we know that a trailer is supposed to land this Thursday, like the next trailer. But as we've said, the 1974 Frames of Logan has already gone out. Were you guys able to sign up for one?
No. I know a Doom tried and
I was able to. Like, and it said you're gonna get yours in the mail. I haven't gotten it yet. Maybe I got it today. Don't know. But like I saw, I was like, like signed up for it.
It was the first time I did this really dumb thing where I was like, you know, I need to grow up and not get everything I want, and I don't need... And then, like, as soon as my brain was like, you do need that. What are you doing? Oh, my God. And it was gone. Like, I literally second-guessed it for a second.
Like,
and I was
like, it's free. Like, you put your email in there. Like, they've probably already got your email. Like, you're not, like...
I was dumb.
Whatever. Yeah, you're dumb. You're real dumb.
I'm trying to be Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Coy.
Wait, what?
Be a child.
That was a deep cut
deep,
there.
Yeah. Deep hook cut.
Yeah, that was a deep hook cut. Oh, man, he's doing those deep hooks. So, anyway, Frames of Logan's coming out. Doom, can you show us some of those pictures? I know I've put some of them in the folder there. Let's take a look at it. So, I know Mangold and Hugh Jackman both got frame 1 and frame 1974, which I think is very appropriate.
Gorgeous.
But I don't have them in any order. So we'll just go through some of these just to see what we're in store for. You know, I think there's one frame in here where I'm like, oh, man, that person got the frame of all the frames. Like, I can't. It's just Wolverine, like, with his claws out running down the hall. Like, a lot of these are here's hands, here's a car, here's a bad guy shooting. But, you know, like, this is like hands. All right, that's cool.
Well,
like,
hands have so much expression to them. Like, this is... And like the grittiness in this,
just, and that seems like
how they justified it. And they're like, cans are very important. And cool.
For those that aren't joining us live right now, aren't watching this on video, it is two hands holding hands.
They can't see it.
I'm guessing that that's Wolverine's forearm and hand is bloodied, grizzled, and it's sepia toned.
Yeah, it's all sepia. It's all like black and white.
Yeah, and it looks like he's holding a smaller hand, perhaps a child.
Now they can see it.
Yeah, it's either. I mean, that's either Daphne Keene's hand as Laura Kinney, the X-23.
Yeah, that's my assumption.
Right.
Or, but like, because I can't. The lights are kind of in my way, but it could also be Professor X's hands. You know. So anyway, that's. I think that's definitely
Laura Kinney because you can see the jean jacket that we see her wearing.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I can't see it from here. The lights. That's. I mean, that's a pretty cool one. Like one of the Reavers shooting. I cannot see these lights right in my eyes.
This appears to be Logan's arm and his closet.
Yeah, I swear the frame that I get is probably just going to be like a shot of grass or something. Oh, great. Artistic, okay, like a very well done shot of grass.
Good one. We've got,
Daphne Keene as Laura running.
What a brilliant marketing campaign.
This is so I love this.
Because you're literally frame by frame releasing it. We're excited about frame by frame. We're giving you free publicity to talk about every frame that we're excited about. And all you had to do was
look at that.
Like,
who got that? Who got that card?
A happy bugger.
That is a great card. And then we got X-23, or which she, I mean, I don't know if she's going to be X-23 or not, but.
And then we've got Old Man Logan. There's a lot. Yeah, go ahead and check out the video. You'll see that there's a lot of different ones.
Yeah, all right. So I'm glad that you hit that, because I was just going to talk about that. So they also just released a new synopsis for the film. Hugh Jackman did it on his Twitter, and it was that picture that he released. And it says, in the near future, a weary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X in a hideout on the Mexican border. But Logan's attempts to hide from the world and his legacy are upended when a young mutant arrives being pursued by dark forces. So, it's nothing that we kind of didn't already know. That's the plot of the film. We know the plot of the film, more or less.
But it's good to make it official.
It's cool
to read.
And so, I think that's frame one, if I remember correctly. No, that's the last frame. That's the last frame, and that's frame one. Yeah. I've got those memorized, guys. I'm so cool.
This was New Orleans, just Matt flipping through frames.
Yeah. Dude, I was sick in the hotel room for a whole day.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, like Brittany and her her boss Darren went out and had fun and everything. I was sick. But look, I'm making it sound down. I had a blast. Like, New Orleans is the best. It was just like, oh man, why am I sick in New Orleans? This is the worst. Like, because New Orleans is like the funnest city in the world.
Daniel Drew is watching live, is getting his one of the frames too.
Oh, nice, Daniel Drew.
Oh, mail guy.
So
good, yeah, good mail day.
Send
Drew,
it to
man.
Doom. Yeah.
Daniel Drew is killing it with the mail.
Send it to Doom. We'll put it on.
Send us the pic if you get it.
So I want to point out though, real quick, with that talks about his legacy, and I know comicbook.com did this, and this was the first place I kind of thought about it because they highlighted legacy, but he's Logan's attempts to hide from the world and his legacy. Like, what is his legacy that he's trying to hide from? Is his legacy the X-23 that, like, they've used him to experiment on, so he's running away? Or is his legacy that he's always the one who ends up being the killer? Like, he's trying to run away from that? Like, are ghosts from his past chasing him? Like, what's his legacy, you know?
You have to wonder where they're going to, you know, field from. Is it going to be like an Old Man Logan with what he did?
Exactly.
Because legacies don't have to be like this beautiful dynasty of beautiful
and
acts.
That's not what, if he's running and hiding from it, it's definitely not that. So that makes me wonder, like, I really don't want to spoil, like, Old Man Logan. Even though it's like 2008, like, it's basically 10 years old story, but like,
he does some stuff he's not proud of.
Yeah, like he's manipulated. Mm-hmm. He's mentally manipulated into doing some awful. By the way, if you haven't read Old Man Logan and you are a Marvel fan in any capacity, go read Old Man Logan. It's one of the best Wolverine stories out there. I love that story.
It's a fantastic story.
Wolverine's also got a cool backstory where he was like basically a merc. Like he was hired to kill Xavier. So like that could be a cool like Ultimate
That's
Wolverine.
Cool.
Yeah, the first issue of the Wolverine at Ultimate X-Men was him.
Yeah,
I never
read the Ultimate line.
Oh, it's great.
So
also, if you're a Marvel fan and host a Marvel show, you should read Ultimate X-Men.
Schneider.
Oh goodness!
Just Matt back. I'm just going for him.
Man, you're going
today.
For him. Man, all right. We should move on.
Move on before we talk about Ultimate X-Men more. Because
we should move on before we talk about the fact that there's a million Marvel comics and Matt has only read like 10,000 of them.
Only read Doctor Strange.
I'm not a true Marvel fan. I'm only a Doctor Strange fan.
He just patiently waits for Doctor Strange news.
Where's the new Doctor Strange? I can't talk about anything else.
Art war.
So true.
I'm only giving him a hard time because I missed him.
I missed you too. I missed all of you guys. And I missed the fans.
Yeah,
we're
for
all
a
back.
Month. We actually didn't see each other for a full month.
I know.
Which is a long time.
Yeah.
An indie
weird.
Romance.
Yeah. Did you get your huge Matt Key hug?
No,
I
didn't.
I got a
That's
huge
why
one
upset.
When
I
came in. Oh. It was personal.
I know a hug, man. I'm just kidding. That's so not true.
He hugs them well.
I'm a hugger. I like hugs.
Good hug this guy.
I hugs. And since I'm like the giant, like I have to pick
he
almost
gets
a different
area of hug than most get because there's a lot more height.
Yeah.
I got some air in the hug.
Yeah.
So it's
important.
Just like, yeah.
Let's talk Black Panther real quick. Where we learned, due to EastBayTimes.com, we learned, here's the quote. In one scene, the film's protagonist has a flashback to 1990 while he was a student at St. Mary's College High School in Berkeley, and of course, he's a daily AC transit commuter. Cue the 1990s era bus for the appropriate establishing shot. So, East Bay Times is excited about the fact that Ryan Coogler is from their area and wants to set one of the, like, one or two or how many scenes in, like, Oakland around the 1990s, nice. And okay. he wants to use a specific look to the buses of that time.
Oh, it's so good.
That's Which, sweet.
So T'Challa goes to high school in the 1990s in Oakland, like, in a high school, like, while he's a student at St. Mary's College High School at Berkeley. So he's going to school there in the 90s.
That's amazing. I'm so excited.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know why I'm excited about that.
Because it's the 90s.
Well, it's the 90s. That, and yes. hopefully he's wearing, like, either jams or MC Hammer pants.
And, oh, please.
Right? Like, T'Challa and some Hammer pants?
Oh, wow. All about either it. That or, like, crisscross.
Some JNCO jeans walking by.
Oh, my God. Back. Like, he's got his backwards overalls on.
Yes.
And he's got the Kid and Play haircut. Like, I'm all about it.
Oh, my. Oh, please. Please let him have right? a high top fade.
Oh, my God. He's got, like, the line.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, the Tupac and yeah. Juiced haircut.
Oh, my God. So, he's got that. He's probably, you know, all in love. Probably in love with who do you think? Counting Crows? T'Challa and the Counting Crows?
Wow.
I'm gonna give him a little more Biggie and Tupac flavor, personally.
T'Challa's running around going, Master Jones, help me.
This is a giant Garth Brooks fan. He's like, man, Chris Gaines. This Chris Gaines movement Garth Brooks is doing, it's incredible.
Oh, lords.
So that's fun. Anyway, he goes to school in the
90s. Jinko Jeans, Garth Brooks fan, T'Challa. That's what I want to see.
Yep. Or he's a big Nirvana guy. Like, he's totally in the grunge. He's wearing the flannel.
Just really upset the whole time. Like, somehow just morose to T'Challa.
He's like, I should have gone to school in Seattle. That place knows what's going on.
One day
that
place gets country, it. Not now.
Some Three Doors Down plays, and he turns it off. He's like,
my
like,
dad
I don't know
just
why,
doesn't
like,
understand.
No.
anyway... 90s.
Did you guys see the hot toys that leaked for the new Black Panther toy?
I've got that in the picture section because Daniel sent that. If you want to look in the drive, Daniel sent us a collage.
Thank you, Daniel, for doing that.
Yeah.
So while you're doing that, Doom, I'm going to talk about real quick. Marikia, you probably know more about this than I do with the Black Panther stuff.
Okay.
But didn't like so Kilgrave's original name was M'Baku, I believe. M'Baku, I think. And
God, there's so many. M'Baku, I believe, is
or is that Manape?
No, he's the
Manape. That's Manape. Okay.
Yeah, with the white gorilla tribe.
That's right.
You know, so, they're kind of like on the outskirts of the political system at the time.
I'm trying to remember Kilgrave's original name, but his family was, I think he was exiled or his dad was, I can't remember. He ends up exiled, goes to school in America. Killmonger. Killmonger.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait.
Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about Jessica Jones in my head
Jessica
earlier
Jones
today.
Yeah, Jessica Jones
Killmonger. Eric Killmonger. But his original name was like, it's not M'Baku. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He comes to school in America, correct? And that's where, like, I think he goes to MIT. And he spends his entire life planning to exact revenge on T'Chaka and that whole Black Panther family line, right?
Yeah, Eric Killmonger does get a Western education because he's kind of like exiled, you were saying. But the funny thing is that being part of that Western influence, he for some reason feels like T'Challa, is even more influenced and that's a detriment to Wakanda. It's so weird.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, where then he comes back with, was it Sonic Hand Guy? Sonic Hand Guy?
Claw. Ulysses Claw.
Ulysses Claw, thank you. And then
Killmonger's original name, and I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize. It's like N'Jadaka.
Spell it.
It's N, then an apostrophe, which is why this is difficult. N-J-A-D-A-K-A.
Yeah, so N'Jadaka.
N'Jadaka,
yeah.
Okay.
So he comes, but I know he went to school in America, so I'm wondering, because T'Challa I don't think did. I think he's like full-on Wakanda education from what I can remember of the comic books. He interacts with America and the West a lot. He's on the Avengers. Like, he's engaged to Monica Lynn at some point. Like, they met in America, so like... Well, all of that, yeah, but like here's where I'm curious: are they specifically doing him going to school in America, and is Eric Killmonger a part of that school? Because it would be amazing if
that'd be a nice adaptation.
The two of them are kind of
friends,
or maybe they're frenemies or they're enemies, or like Killmonger's like, oh, I want to kill you, but I've got to be your friend for like kind of like getting like don't know, But I wonder if they're doing something with that.
Yeah, and I'd be nice to see more Michael B. Jordan. I mean,
oh well, yeah, no, he's great.
As much
yeah.
Michael B. Jordan, and Michael B. Jordan in the '90s would be awesome. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
Plus
one
Fruitvale
of the things.
Station love. Oh, you yeah. see Fruitvale? That was in Oakland.
It's in my queue.
It's real good. It's real good. And it's Ryan Coogler. This is the director of
that was his first big thing, yeah.
Real good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very real possibility because with T'Challa, but his like whole coming of age thing happened primarily in Africa, and that's where, you know, he met Storm and all like that. But yeah, since he does spend a great deal of time when he's an adult, because he has to be worthy of the Black Panther title, because his uncle at the time is, you know, in the comic storyline, his uncle is taking care of the Empire. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be...
Yeah, I think
that
would be very interesting,
that.
Yeah. So,
you know, since they killed his father already, you know, they have to go a different route with things. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Doom, did you want to show that picture that we got real quick?
Yeah.
Of Black Panther and how awesome he looks. He's wearing a cape, I think I saw.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, my God. That's a beautiful figure. Yeah. Who sent that in?
Daniel.
Daniel! Good work, man.
Super
solid.
Jedi
like True Saiyan.
Solid work. That's great.
It's regal. It's like, it's got, I don't know, there's something very, like, authoritative about it.
It's majestic. It's majestic. And that's what the Black Panther is. Like, and he's sort of like majesty incarnate. Like, I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. And you see that just from looking at this. Something that we brought up last week, that Koi brought up, is that some people saw Black Panther as threatening or as like a bad guy, and I'm like, how can you think? But it's also because we know Black Panther, and I'm guess like looking at that picture, I'm still like, that's just majestic and cool.
Yeah, so majestic.
He was working against our
heroes were established
in the last one. Like, not that he was doing anything bad.
Yeah, I mean, he had an antagonistic relationship,
but that makes him a better character, in my opinion, because he's so well thought out and like he's got nuance and layers. Like, I love that. I love the idea that someone could watch him, not know the Black Panther, and be like, "Oh, that's the bad guy," because like to me, that shows how good a job Boseman did and how good and how well fleshed out the character was, so that we can lead into his own movie and like the cast for their own movie. Like, I want to have a Michael B. Jordan have good qualities and have him have negative qualities, so they're actual real people, and they've done that so far. Like, I think Black Panther is going to be Oscar bait tested.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that film. That's February of 2018, if I remember correctly. So they'll be filming very soon. Like,
we're gonna have casting everyone else now. So,
So let's move on because we don't have we have 1,000 other things to talk about. X-Men Supernova is now maybe the name of the next X-Men film. So, this is a little confusing. So, stick with me here. X-Men Supernova for a while was thought to be the working title for the New Mutants film, which we know goes into production later this year. However. Now, according to Production Weekly and other like websites where like crew goes to look for work and stuff, where they have all the names listed, typically only with working titles, but they've got X-Men New Mutants along with X-Men Supernova, and now they're putting X-Men Supernova working title Dark Phoenix. So it seems as if this is kind of like a very loose confirmation that we're going to get New Mutants filming later this year, as well as the next X-Men film in that particular storyline following Apocalypse, with Jean Grey getting into the Dark Phoenix saga.
Which makes sense, and that we've been teased the 90s for a while, and chronologically it makes sense, and we were given Phoenix at the end of
Apocalypse.
That movie that happened. so I would... Man, I really just wanted to start over, and I know a lot of people are with me this. And
I want them to start over with Marvel.
They just keep starting over.
Just... Start over, but do it right.
I mean, that's what a concept.
Because
they just kind of started over. They just kind of started over with Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how many free passes they'll get from the public.
Yeah.
Because people are already upset about like Spider-Man's had 2 reboots in a lifetime. X-Men's had like 1.5, 2.
Yeah. Like 1 and a soft. Yeah.
If you count X-Men First Class, which I consider the best of them, I know I'm that guy.
Yeah.
But like, if you go that route, they've had a lot of chances, and it just feels like everyone's like reboot, and they keep half doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if they're going with Dark Phoenix and they go this way with the same actors, I would love a new creative team involved. So,
I
have
agree.
No problem with the actors. Yeah. I think the actors were incredibly well cast. I love the universe they built. I just think they could...
I agree. Yeah. So, let's talk very quickly on the Dark Phoenix saga. That story is that Jean Grey discovers that this cosmic entity called the Phoenix is coming to inhabit her. It starts to inhabit her through her, like, telekinetic and telepathic psyche and everything. But the Hellfire Club is after her also because they know about the Phoenix. They want to harness that power. Right. They kind of turn her against the X-Men. She then releases herself, and she's like, no, screw you guys and screw these X-Men. I'm more powerful than all of y'all combined. I'm going to go do my own thing. She decides to go out into the cosmos, makes a star go supernova, destroys an entire planet. Then the...
I thought it was a whole solar system.
Well, destroys a civilized world within that solar system.
Right.
And the Shi'ar, it's a Shi'ar world, and they're like, oh, hell no. No. So they come to claim Phoenix for themselves. They're like, she's got to be executed. She's a threat to the entire universe, like, basically. And the X-Men fight back. Jean Grey eventually is like, no, like, I am too powerful. I can't necessarily control this thing. And she takes herself out. Commit suicide to keep that from, like, keep that power from inhabiting her and destroying the universe. So that's the storyline. We'll see what they do with it over at Fox, but that's the basic story.
It could be a trilogy. Like, the Phoenix storyline could be, if I were to reboot the X-Men, I would start with an X-Men First Class, have the Phoenix be Marvel Girl, have her have, like, some issues with stress, not even anxiety, like, not even, and then the second movie have, like, a darkness, because if you do it in the first movie, you don't have the wonderful innocence of Marvel Girl. Yeah. You don't have the wonderful, like, little spark of how great and everyone loves her, and there's a reason both Cyclops and Wolverine fall in love with her. You need that in the first movie. The second movie allow for some darkness, maybe even just teen angst disguised as Phoenix flavor, and then the third movie you could actually have, you care about the character so much, you get the Phoenix. The thing that Bryan Singer did wrong with the first one was, when you had the Phoenix at this end of the second movie, it didn't feel like enough. It never felt like we really were invested. And then to have her at the end of the introduction of Jean Grey with Sophie Turner, it's like, we can't fast forward to that. Like, we just met this broad. So, like, I just feel like if you want to do that story, you need the Claremont era lasted 20 years for a reason.
Yeah.
So the problem X-Men have had is they want to have 8 storylines at once. If you rush the Phoenix storyline, you'll have the same problem. So don't reboot with that.
Yeah. Markia, did you?
Yeah. I'm burnt out on trilogies. I'll be honest. Yeah. I want something in one or two movies now. I don't want to have to wait 4 years to complete a storyline, to complete a story with this character, or 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't want it, and I'm kind of tired of it. But yes, I agree that they try to do all of these storylines within one movie. So how about just stick to that? Just that character, just her storyline.
I just don't know if we'll love her enough.
Well, I think let's give it a try. We don't do standalone movies anymore. We don't do it anymore. Let's
do it. That's
why
I love Hell or High Water, because it's the first standalone movie that I've really been like, like, it was a good arc story movie. It felt like the 90s. You
let's
just saw a movie.
Have that. Yeah, that's something that the 90s were good about. So I mean, think about, like, with Die Hard original, it was like this beautiful standalone movie. Yeah. And then from that, it's like, oh, okay, let's take this storyline
further. This actually
works.
We like this character. Let's see what else he can do.
Yeah. The problem with comics is they're serialized.
Too many times they'll just stretch things out and stretch things out and throw in filler. And it's like, you know what? Screw that. Let's just have it in one movie. And then if we love it, continue it from there, because goodness knows there's more storylines.
Yeah. All right. We've got to move on. Okay. Let's talk Cloak and Dagger real quick. They are working with we discussed working titles earlier. They're working with the working title of Shadows. It's scheduled to start, according to NOLA.com, New Orleans, Louisiana.com. They're scheduled to start production in February, and they have a budget of $42 million, which is a pretty substantial budget for a 10-episode series on Freeform television.
Have they confirmed that it's 10 episodes?
No, but
I couldn't,
like,
find that anywhere.
It's probably going to be something like that, 10 to 12 episodes. It seems like television is kind of moving that direction a lot.
10 is a good number.
I think 10 is a good number, you know, and I don't think they want to do a whole 24, order season. Like, that's so big to do, so.
It'll depend. What Freeform does with a lot of their content is they do split seasons. Like, just the way they number things, it'll be like season 1.5, and a lot of that's just for, like, it's for budgetary reasons, because things change when you actually change the number of the season.
Yeah.
So, like, I actually saw that number and was concerned, because they give roughly $40 million for all the Netflix series.
Yeah.
And the producers of that are always like, that budget's pretty stretched thin.
Yeah. Well,
at 13 episodes. So if they're going to make them do 20 on a $42 million budget, that's like nothing.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's probably going to be a smaller order, especially with all the effects. Like, I mean, Dagger's effects are relatively simple. It's just her, like, shooting flashes of light. But Cloak's effects are going to be pretty substantial. And, like, he's got a whole...
Darkness is probably easier to use.
Sure, but he's got a world inside of that cloak that, like, they're going to have to also build all that if they go that direction. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on. Deadpool 2. Uh-huh. You're welcome. I put that in just for Coy. Because I know he'll actually talk about it.
Of course he's wearing Deadpool shirt.
Of course he is. He's got a closet just of Deadpool shirts.
I do have an entire row in my closet of Deadpool shirts.
Unbelievable.
Which fantastic.
Necessarily safe.
Yeah. So Collider.
I'm doing Sailor Moon today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. That's all right. It's not Marvel.
There's Sailor Moon news.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking. No, we have so much more. Like, we are so behind right now.
I'm just harassing Matt at this point.
I know.
Samurai
Jack? We love you, Matt.
Samurai Jack is not Marvel also. Nor is Yosagi Yojimbo, as much as we all might wish that.
Powerpuff Girls?
Nope, they're not. I don't think they are. No, I think they're probably over at IDW. Anyway,
Wonder Woman comes out in June.
Stop it. Can't wait for that movie, but it's DC, and we've got way too much to talk about. Okay. I have not. I have not wandered off the subject. I'm trying to stay on subject. Skibbity bop. So Collider talked with screenwriters Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese this week, saying that they talked about X-Force, Colossus, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Cable. So let's hit X-Force real quick. They said that the film will definitely set X-Force up in some way. But its purpose, this is Rhett Reese saying, its purpose is not to set up X-Force. It will likely set up X-Force, but the drive of the movie won't be our eyes on movie 3. Like, so basically, what you're saying, let's just see a standalone film. Maybe it happens to set up another film later on, but let's just see a standalone film. Deadpool 2 on its own.
Good.
Scooby-Dee-Boosh.
It's got an ending.
So, and Paul Wernick added to that saying, we want to hint at things, we want to plan some characters and all that. But Deadpool 2. So, there's that. They also said Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead would definitely be back.
Yes.
How much they'll be back, don't know. They are still, like, in the midst of, like, writing various drafts of the script. But they know that they'll be back. The big news is Cable, his origin in the comics is so confused. Like, I've read a lot of those comics. I still don't know.
He's the 90s embodied.
Yeah, like he's like, yeah, like he is so like a product of the 90s. He's the son of an alternate of a clone, Madeline Pryor, Jean Grey, and Scott Summers, and an alternate timeline future. So Jean Grey and Scott Summers are his mom and dad, kind of, but not really.
But a different Jean Grey,
from an alternate reality.
And he's like, not X-Men, because X-Man is another Nate Grey.
Yeah.
X-Man is a different version of Cable, kind of.
Yep, and then there's also his clone Strife.
Right.
Like, it's...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And then his arm is metal, because he was infected with the techno-organic virus, and he's telekinetic, but he has to focus all of his telekinesis...
to keep his arm from, like,
From, like, that sickness from... It's a mess.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Gorgeous.
Oh, if you're a comic book fan, you're like, oh, give me all of this. But for a film, we can't spend 45 minutes just trying to explain who he might be. So, so here's the quotes from them. It's intimidating to write for him. It's intimidating because we have to find his voice, and we don't have an actor yet, so we don't know who we're writing for. I think that's big news because a lot of late last year. Everything was Kyle Chandler's Cable. We're doing Kyle Chandler. Then it was, the director's leaving because he wanted Kyle Chandler and Ryan Reynolds didn't. They're saying, no, we don't have an actor.
Right.
We've never had an actor. There have been people talked about. We don't have an actor yet.
The director coming out and being like, that wasn't what happened, guys.
It was
also kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Reynolds being like, that's not what happened. Like, every single person's been like,
no.
But everyone rushes to headlines because it seems more dramatic. So I'm glad they're writing it around whatever they shaped Cable
and
to be.
I love Gamer Girl. Cable's origin is wibbly wobbly, timey wimey weird stuff.
Yes. Very true. Correct. It absolutely is.
Perfect.
So going on from that, they say there's been a lot of diverse people brought up as possibilities for Cable, people that they want to consider that haven't even been pulled into the room. So there's still, like, a giant casting process for this character. But along those lines, they say, we'll certainly make him like he is in the comics. We'll certainly be faithful. Authenticity is so important. I think part of what made Deadpool such a success, I think we're going to continue with that authenticity. Finally, they say, I think we're going to distill him down to his essence. It will be authentic and faithful, but it's not going to include the 18,000 details if you were going to read a Wikipedia page mm-hmm. about Cable.
Perfect.
So,
and I also love they talked about they didn't bring him into the first movie because they wanted to give Deadpool. He's too much character to introduce in yep. Deadpool's origin, yep. so that's great. And yep. now they have room. We love Deadpool. We know him. People have seen the first movie.
My thoughts here is he'll be a time-traveling mutant who comes back in time, and that's going to be enough for Deadpool to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, WTF, that makes no sense. You're a character I can screw around with because you're out of time, and now you're back in time, and we're both trying to cut, like...
He can have the powers without the history. That's enough. He doesn't right. need the Jean Grey stuff. He doesn't exactly. need the Cyclops stuff. He exactly. can, and then later, if you want to bring Cable into the X-Men universe, you can exactly. that can be a great I'm your father reveal.
Yeah.
You can and have like, your Darth
they'll
moment.
Set him up as X-Force, who's probably ends up being stuck in time, and he's the leader of X-Force, which right. is probably why they're still trying to find the actor, because he's going to have to help lead...
Seven contracts.
A like whole other movies. Franchise, yeah. So, right. anyway, let's move on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doom, talk to us. You got 1 minute!
Oh, yes. All right. I only have 1 minute. So, last week's episode was a lot of fun. We're getting deep into that, like, LMD territory.
Yeah.
There's a major reveal that I'm not going to spoil at the very end about who our bad guy is.
Yeah, if you haven't watched last week's episode, watch it.
It's real intense. It's a great... I think it's a great way to set up what we're doing going forward.
I agree.
And it sort of takes out some of the concern about, like, too much crossover with Ultron.
Yeah.
Which
I agree with. That
starting
was something
to feel
that was
like
bothering
there was too
me
much
yeah.
Ultron. And now it doesn't feel like that, which is great. Stuff coming down. Like, tonight's episode is called The Patriot. I'm so excited because we're going to get into Mace's backstory.
Director Jeffrey Mace.
Yeah.
In the comics is also known as the Patriot. Yeah. He at one time took over for Captain America.
There's a couple of people who think that he might just like pick up Cap's shield on the show since it's in flux right now.
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty cool.
That might be a little much to give shield, admittedly.
Yeah.
But it could be... what his secret is tied to the events around Civil War
yeah.
is... That's what I think tonight's episode is going to be. It's like, where was he in Vienna?
Supposedly being a
hero. Tonight we're going to find out what secret he has. Like, we had one theory on the after show last week that he might not even be an Inhuman.
I don't think he is. I think he's probably like been experimented on in some
like,
way.
Like, he might be a super soldier, Captain America style, but like to a lesser extent.
Yeah. Well, did you see that there's something about how he has to have that briefcase with him? I wonder if that's
yeah,
like
exactly.
he like rages out and like his medication in there will like subdue him.
Or it's like a perfected version of the Hyde formula or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. Like, I think that there's something going on with that. Definitely.
The stuff that's coming up today, or like that they released not to, on today's episode.
Yeah.
The Koenigs are coming back.
Patton Oswalt's character. Back. I'm super excited about it, but even better than him coming back is the fact that they're going to reveal that whole story of how he has 13 brothers. They all look the exact same. They all act the exact same.
It doesn't make sense. Like, people are saying, like, oh, they're LMDs, but that's, the timeline doesn't add up for them to be LMDs.
Yeah, so, like, maybe they're, like, magical. Like, maybe they're, like, mystical in nature, and that's why the Darkhold has something to do with them.
Yeah, a little spoilers there, but, like, the synopsis that they released says that it's something to do with the Darkhold. And my first thought was...
Don't say it.
They might. What if all the Koenigs are the Darkhold Redeemers?
Don't even say it, man. I want to write the Darkhold Redeemers movie so bad. I don't want ABC to be like ABC is gonna beat this unproduced writer. Like, yeah, like, but girl, don't take my idea.
I just want more. Well, if you want to write it with all Patton Oswalts running around.
It's not the worst way to
there's
go.
One, they, we true. Know they have at least one sister, so you get Patton Oswalt in drag for a little bit.
Also not the worst way to go.
All right, well, let's move on. There's also Inhumans news you wanted to talk about, Doom.
Yeah, they put out the casting. Or, like, there was a leak for the supposed
Medusa?
Character breakdowns for all of them, for the entire cast. And it seemed they, like, it was, like, fake names, but they all lined up letter-wise, so it looks like they... It did confirm Karnak.
Karnak and Black Bolt. I love those two characters so much.
I just want to express my disappointment. Is really the character descriptions sound great, but everyone except I think like one or two of the minor characters was listed as like required to be Caucasian.
Yeah,
And that was an extremely. This was, I thought, their big chance to really like break away from like the issues that Marvel has had recently with Iron Fist and Doctor Strange, and really like broaden their things because these are inhumans. They're aliens. They could be anything. Yeah. And the fact that ABC felt they needed that to be in the breakdown for Black Bolt and Medusa disappointed me.
Not to reveal more than I should appropriately. What I know of what's happening in casting, that's not their priority.
That's great. I'm just going based on what I saw in the character.
No, breakdown. and I totally understand that. I'm just trying to put you at ease.
No, that's wonderful if they're not actually stuck on that.
Right, because from what I have experienced, that's a thing that it will be okay, hopefully.
Yeah, because these aren't biopics. These are imaginary characters. So, just saying.
No, this is real. Don't take this from me, McCarty.
I really thought John Malkovich was playing Martin Luther King. I thought that was a thing they were doing.
Get out, McCarty. Get out.
I'm in trouble. He's calling me by my last name.
I mean, Joseph Fiennes is playing Michael Jackson. Anything's possible.
Oh, my God. Let's not. Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Doom, go to the corner.
I think the Inhumans movie is going to shape up. I'm really excited. The breakdowns, descriptor-wise, not that strange. I agree, that was a weird move. As far as them describing the characters, I think as long as they focus on that, then we'll have a great...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also possible that these are not real, like the Spider-Man ones were last year.
Right,
like, where they had all the stuff, and that turned out to be pretty much probably fake.
Well, but here's the thing, and this is why I didn't even include all the breakdowns in here and make it a bigger deal. The breakdowns basically said... So there's this character who might be Black Bolt, and we described him exactly how he is. Like, we know who Black Bolt is. We know Medusa. Like, we've talked about it. So, like, for me, it was like, it's news. Like, we know this is coming, and we know, like, here's the real news to me. They're staying, if these breakdowns are true, if the leak breakdowns are true, they're keeping very close to the material and all the characters that we want of the royal family are involved. So that would be Black Bolt, Medusa, Gorgon, Crystal, Karnak, and Triton. Like, that's like, okay, good, great, do that. Other than that, I kind of, yeah. So.
Yeah, I only bring it up because in my mind, ABC is listening to this show, and they've heard my disappointment, and will make alterations.
Very true. ABC's all about us. They watch our show religiously every single week, I'm sure.
ABC, Doom demands diversity.
all right, let's move on to a little thing I like to call Avengers Infinity War.
Yay. Oh, yes, very little thing. Very little.
But
I hear it's got a very small cast.
You're so mean.
Super
small. I wasn't going to go that direction. and you did. And
what direction is he talking about?
Peter Dinklage!
I don't think she mentioned
it. Oh, I didn't mean
direction.
It that way! No! Oh, my gosh. No. No, I didn't.
I was like, wow, you're really going there.
No, I meant as in the cast size, because we know, like, the cast list is all...
Is Matt, you were being
massive.
Ironic.
I didn't mean it that way.
I was like, wow, she's beating this little person thing over the head.
No,
oh,
no.
So
150% no.
All right, so Peter Dinklage...
Express some rage.
Possibly joining the cast of the Infinity War and the as-of-yet... unsubtitled Avengers 4 film.
Right.
We don't know who he is. We don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. Variety broke the story of Peter Dinklage might be in this movie. And he would be in both of them if that's true. So, I wanted to turn to you guys and ask, who is he?
Oh.
Who is he?
Yeah.
Guys, who is he? Who could he be? Who is he?
This would negate 15 years of hopes and dreams that Stan Lee was the Watcher, but I want... Peter Dinklage be Uatu.
Dude.
Dude,
that is my number one.
Think about it.
I want.
Think about it. That is a really good idea.
Yeah, I think it's perfect.
That's my number one idea.
He's got the gravitas for
to
it.
To be
definitely.
A man who is always there watching. Uh-huh. And everything as Peter Dinklage speaks, you're like, quote, quote, quote. Like, everything he says.
Yeah.
And you need that kind of actor.
And he's got that empathy, but then he's also got that fierceness to him. So that would really,
like,
really work.
He has, like, a sympathetic authority to him. Like, that I just, like, he's regal. Like, he's regal. Like,
yes, he is.
Like,
he's
absolutely
majestic.
Regal. Yeah.
The question. Would you want a giant Peter Dinklage that's, like, taller than everyone, like Uatu is? Or would you want, like, actual Peter Dinklage and the idea that this small person has been seeing everything?
I want all of it.
Yeah.
I want him to be all of it.
I think he changes.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to change him.
Yeah.
I think he can be exactly who he is, and it would be fine. We could also have him, you know, float.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
And he'd look great in a robe.
Everybody flies. Everybody levitates.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think it would be great if maybe the Avengers, and like if he is a Watu, and the like here in my head, the Avengers initially meet him, and he's like, "Hey, I'm this cosmic being called the Watcher. I come from a race of Watchers. We're an ancient race. I'm an ancient race." And they're like, "All right, what? Like, there's no way that this is true. Like, who are you to say these things?" And then, like, he raises the, like the size of a skyscraper. He's like, "I am the Watcher." Like, oh Christ, you know. So. That's kind of in my head what would happen. So
we don't know if Uatu is owned by Fox or Marvel, and Fox and Marvel have been trading a lot of
they
late.
Have.
So
they have.
That's
so,
why I'm saying Uatu.
Okay, but and anyway, then also Spider Geronimo, awesome. A Watcher pays his debts.
Probably does.
Also, I dove deep into Marvel licensing about probably 2 months ago to help out with a video over on Collider, and So Marvel licensing is weird because in the late 90s, early 2000s, when they were trying to get out of bankruptcy, they created all these like package deals for studios to possibly buy them. And they were just pulling, like, they tried to stay like close to like Ghost Rider, you know, Ghost Rider and Mephisto and Blackheart. But like, they would also be like, but he's also kind of dark. So let's also pull in Damien Hellstrom. Mm-hmm. Let's also like, so they kind of like, it's not necessarily like Fantastic Four. Like,
right, there's subcategory, subcategory, there's, subcategory.
Like, they could have pulled Watcher into a lot of things, so, like, his licensing is a little... To me, from what I studied, his licensing could go a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. So, it's entirely possible that Fox outright owns the rights and that Marvel would have to figure out a sharing deal, or it's possible that he's kind of a character similar to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So, because he's been in as many Avengers stories
as
he was.
Fantastic Four.
So, like, I think both studios would have a claim on his rights. So, anyway, let's move on. Pip the Troll. I think that's too on the nose. Like, Rob Liefeld was like, he's Pip the Troll. He's got to be Pip the Troll. I'm like, Rob Liefeld, calm down, Couchmaster.
But it would work for, you know, the, what was it, the Space Gem, right? Didn't Pip the Troll have the space gem? Like, he hit it in his toes or something?
He ended up with it, yeah. As a part of the Infinity Watch after they defeated... So there was Infinity Gauntlet where they defeated Thanos. Then there was Infinity War where Adam Warlock's evil future self, the Magus, came back.
Yep.
And they created all these weird doppelgangers. That story, that is weird.
Yeah, that's
a weird one. But then they finally defeated him. He had the Infinity Gauntlet. And then they created the Infinity Watch where a future version... of Adam Warlock, who's also a female, kind of comes back and helps preside over this Infinity Watch, and they disseminate the stones and all this other stuff. So he got the Space Stone after they beat the Thanos ended up having, like, this weird power to transport because, like, the Space Stone gifted it to him, whatever. So I still personally think it's on the nose. Like, here's a little person. He's Pip the Troll.
One of the things that Fox did right when they cast Peter Dinklage was they didn't make it... They didn't make it a cliche part. They didn't make it something that was like... And I love that. And I think that's why Peter Dinklage did it. I think he did it because, like, he is
absolutely
a fantastic actor, and he doesn't want to, like... For years, he's got a bunch of amazing quotes, like, only people wanted to cast me as elves in Santa movies for years, and I'm not going to do that. And, like, I don't feel like that is fair to his talent to be... Like,
he's...
Unless Pip the Troll was a lead, it's not fair to Peter Dinklage.
I think he's one of the best actors of our generation, regardless of his size or whatever else. Like, he is... an incredible actor, and I want to see him. I want to see him sink his teeth into something. Like I loved him in Days of Future Past. I love that they never acknowledge, like, oh, you're a little person. Screw that. I'm glad they didn't. So
that's what I mean. I don't think Marvel would make that mistake because they're so good at casting. I don't think they'd go that direction.
I agree. Plus, Pip the Troll, you kind of have to have Adam Warlock, and I think, like, as much as I want to see Warlock, I think that's so much to throw into a film. So, anyway, MODOK.
A lot of people in the chat room were saying
I've always wanted Peter Dinklage to be MODOK. I think that would be incredible. And, like, you need an actor of that gravitas.
To make that happen. His caliber to make
like,
that
here's,
work.
Here's this picture.
To justify the insanity of this MODOK. Like, a floating head with tiny arms.
There's an artist online. He works a lot with comicbook.com called Boss Logic. He named himself Boss Logic. And he does a lot of these, like, what if pictures, and this is the one he did of Peter Dinklage's MODOK.
Dude.
Terrifying. I would be terrified. Here's the problem with MODOK. He is a completely separate storyline to Thanos. Like, if you do that, like, you're basically Spider-Man 3-ing. It's like, we've got Sandman, we've also got Venom, and it's like, whoa, no, two-way, wait, pick, please, pick.
But they've confirmed him for the whatever the next the fourth Avengers is. So it could be that he just appears.
It could be that
in Infinity War,
and then they do like advanced idea mechanics, like they do something with AIM and like the resurgence of Hydra or something like that in the fourth film.
I mean, the one thing working against that is that we have technically introduced AIM into this world in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, and it was Kildrich or whatever his name was.
And I think
yeah.
most people are trying to forget that movie.
Some people.
But like, it's not the biggest one to like have something major call back to.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Like AIM.
I also think it would be fun. Like, along with the Watcher, I think it would be cool if he was a character like the Living Tribunal. They name drop him in Doctor Strange.
Ooh, that's true.
And the Living Tribunal is like, even Thanos is afraid of the Living Tribunal. Like he's not only like. Kind of like the cosmic entity that watches over our universe, but he watches over the entirety of the multiverse. And in the comics, the only characters that are possibly higher than him are the Beyonders.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting if they did like the Secret War storyline in Avengers 4 and they brought in the Beyonders and then they completely rebooted the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which they're going to have to do.
Right.
Because like, all these like actors' contracts are coming up and everything. There's the Living Tribunal with all of the cosmic entities.
And he's in the comics a lot lately, and Marvel tends to do that, where they're like, remember this character? Like, he's a big part of the most recent Thanos comic.
Yeah, I think it would be cool if he was a Living Tribunal. And because, again, that would, bringing him into Infinity War, and then seeing him somehow in the fourth film would... That would be a way to reboot the entire cinematic universe for them. And to keep it all in canon and not have to be like, cool, well, that was the end of that saga. We're starting again. You know, yeah. So.
Tim Page brought up someone we've talked about as the next big villain. He'd be a great Kang.
Oh, God. I would love to see Kang. Kang, I think, does actually belong to Fox, though.
Yeah.
But in the dream.
Oh, my God. I would love to see Kang.
I remember James Gunn talking about this. Did he confirm that, or was Kang one of the ones that got split?
I think Kang is confirmed to be exclusively at Fox. I think probably what happened with what I was saying earlier with the licensing deal, I think Fox maybe cherry-picked him. They were like, oh, he would actually be a really interesting villain for Fantastic Four.
He's a long-term villain, too, and they don't really have a lot of that.
So I think Fox probably owns those rights outright, but I'm not an attorney. I've never seen those contracts.
Unless
so what do I know?
Phase Fantastic Four is a reality, and what a great way to tie it all together.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I would die. All right.
I want one.
Here's my last one, and then I you guys can shut me up and tell me what yours are. A member of the Black Order. So if you remember Jonathan Hickman's run on Infinity and the Avengers and the New Avengers from a couple years back, when Thanos was invading Earth, Thanos was going planet to planet trying to find his son and kill every last possible progeny of his. And he got to Earth knowing that Thane was here, and he was looking for Thane, couldn't find him. But he invaded Earth with the Black Order. And the Black Order were all of his generals, who were all equally as powerful as him.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I think they all... What was their other name? They had a whole other name. I can't remember. Obsidian. Something Obsidian. Anyway, Corvus Glaive, Black Dwarf, or Ebony Maw are the three characters. Oh, my God. Corvus Glaive is super strong. Guy, he had a scythe, and when he held the scythe, he was actually immortal. And he could kill anybody, like, oh, you're dead. Kind of very much like a death kind of character.
Yeah, like Sailor Pluto.
Yes.
Kidding. Go ahead.
The Avengers to defeat him, they had to get the scythe out of his
Sailor
hand.
Sailor Saturn.
Oh, my God, stop.
Get out of here, McCarty.
Then Black Dwarf. Was anything but a dwarf. He was a gigantic troll-like character, super strong, impenetrable. Like, he's basically the Hulk, you know. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think where he would be interesting is as the Ebony Maw, who's one of my favorite characters to come out of the Black Order. He wasn't very strong, but he was so persuasive with his language, he can convince Avengers to fight each
other. Which would be like... Dinklage's wheelhouse, big time.
So it would be interesting because Thanos isn't gonna like. Maybe he'll come with just an army, and they'll have like just a throwaway kit, like Corvus Glaive, go kill. Like they won't treat him like a big deal like he was in the comics. But I would love to see them do something with the Black Order. The Cull Obsidian, I think, was the other, which is such a cool name.
Tim Chapman sent us a picture earlier.
Yeah, I've got that. If we want it to, that's in the Google Drive too.
of the Black Order, of basically the MCU edition of the assembled Black Order. I think this guy's
dead. Yeah, that's
dead,
the picture though. That that's I have. It. Oh, man. Yeah, that would be cool.
I think the first guy's dead, isn't he? Didn't he get killed, this guy?
I can't see him. Who's that first guy? Was that the guy from that Thanos was with, like the other?
Yeah, I thought what's his name? Oh God,
Ronan killed him in Guardians, but like, what do we know? Like maybe he's immortal, and he's like, yeah, you broke my neck, I'm back.
Yeah, we don't know. But that's the only caveat.
Red Skull is Ebony Maw would be interesting.
By the way, looking at that image, Karen Gillan confirmed that she is going to be in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah, Nebula.
So Nebula is coming back for that one.
Also, to tangent back to an earlier thing quickly, Kelly in the live chat, Kelly Z, said that Pierce Brosnan is rumored to be Cable, and there was just a picture of Hugh Jackman. I think the rumor comes from... there's a picture... of Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds, and Pierce Brosnan hanging out. Probably just broing. But if that's anything more official than that, that'd be dope.
I don't know if I want Pierce Brosnan as Cable.
I want Mel Gibson. That's never going to happen.
Pierce Brosnan could make decent Cable.
But, like, Cable's not... No. He's, like...
He's charming. Pierce is charming. Cable's not.
Yeah.
Like, Pierce is charm. He's charming. Cable's, yeah. But that's someone... I just wanted to give Kelly a little throw out.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that.
And I think it just stems from that picture. To me, Mel Gibson's going to be Cable forever.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen his interviews while he's pitching Hacksaw Ridge? That man looks like a man out of time that doesn't know reality is. It's incredible. He is Cable.
He is that. Yeah.
He's been waiting for this role his whole life.
So we've got...
Yeah, he specifically lost in, like, 1941.
Marquia, did you add this in about Victor Rosario on Twitter?
Yeah. Well, because we had a couple of people that were... because you put up, be like, oh, Dinklage, we're gonna, talk about that. And then Victor Rosario at Vic Rose Fur was like, rumor says he plays, and I'm gonna butcher this, Eitri, Eitri, a dwarf king. He's the maker of
Mjolnir.
Yeah, Mjolnir. Him and his brother Broker, Brokkr, I believe.
That would be interesting. So, and it said, he's saying that rumor says he'll play Eitri. And I don't know if that would like warrant him being in the fourth Avengers film, but there's also a rumor, and this is like, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, so if you don't want to listen to like the next minute, don't. But it's a Thor Ragnarok rumor that, spoiler, Mjolnir might be destroyed.
In that
because
case,
like Thor ends up on the planet without Mjolnir, and I don't know if it's destroyed, if they banish it to another dimension, if they find a way to make him unworthy of it so he can't use it, but he doesn't have it, and one of those rumors is he doesn't have it because it's destroyed.
Interesting.
I feel like he'd get it back in the third act. I think it's just...
He may not.
But right, then you could have the maker of... I keep on butchering the name.
Mjolnir, yeah.
Of the hammer. You could have the maker of the hammer, like, restructure it back together, so that could be...
But that's where... it would be interesting if it's Eitri, but then...
Eitri.
But I don't understand why he would be in the fourth film. Maybe he's not. Maybe the rumor's incorrect, but... That would actually be interesting for Thor to be like, I need a new Mjolnir. Peter Dinklage is like, I've got it right here for you, bud.
Yeah, or Kuskar in the live chat is a really cool idea. Dinklage's own Rhys.
Oh.
I love that.
He's probably strictly Fantastic Four.
He's in the comics so much. He literally was Civil War. I mean.
You Secret War.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
That could be cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, and he would be very good at playing the insanity of that.
Right.
But,
so I'm just that's a cool. I love
that's
that
a
idea.
Cool idea. I don't think that's what it is, but that is cool. And I don't. Again, I think Fox probably owns those rights pretty exclusively. And then Colin Sapp at Colin_Sapp. Hey, Colin. What if Peter Dinklage is Adam Warlock? I think that would be pretty cool.
I'd love it.
Yeah. I would love it. I'd watch him have a golden body.
Love him as anything.
All right. Do you guys? We need to move on to the Defenders. Do you guys have anything else for Peter Dinklage?
No.
Just
no?
Hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Uatu, all
just
the way.
Thank That's you for I'm... being part of our universe.
Thank you, Peter Dinklage.
All right, here we are with our big thing to talk about, and we've got no time to do it.
The pictures are so cool.
So let's just go through those pictures real quick, Doom. Let's just look at those, and then I'll figure out how much time we've got to discuss
these
quotes.
Entertainment Weekly pictures?
These are all the EW pictures.
Yeah.
Let's just start at the beginning. There's the cover. We've got all of them there. You know, there's nothing to see there, but it's cool to see them all together.
I love seeing them all together.
And by the way, for those of you listening to us on iTunes, I apologize. We have no way to show you these things. But just go Google it, yeah. Look it up, EW Defenders, and you'll see every single picture.
And then also I did a segment on Screen Junkies News where it went through each of the pictures, so you can look that up too.
Nice. Oh, and I wrote about it on Geek Girl Authority. So you can go find like Geek Girl Authority, Matt Key, Defenders, and you'll find every single one of these pictures. So we've got Danny Rand, Iron Fist, played by Finn Jones, attacking a dude in a gas mask. Don't know what's going on there. And then we've got Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones walking with Trish Walker, who's played by Rachel Taylor, I believe is her name. And again, like, there's nothing to see here. Like, it's just them walking and talking, but it's exciting to know, like, oh, like, the entire, like, all of Jessica Jones's world is now colliding with these, all three of these other worlds.
Right. Like, done it in little ways. Like, we heard Trish during Luke Cage, like, in a radio show.
Yeah.
Like, voiceover, but now they're gonna be hanging out.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's so great. So here's a picture of all four of them
with the nip slip.
The wardrobe malfunction.
Why is Jessica Jones holding whipped cream?
That I think that's a spray paint.
Yeah. Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
whipped cream, exposed nipples. The show's gonna.
Oh, I guess it was exposed nipple. It made me think it was whipped cream.
Think it's pretty sure that's not whipped cream. Yeah. We're coming a lot varied tonight, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got all four. I think this is one of the first official pictures. Oh, okay.
Boom.
This is Sigourney Weaver playing the role of the villain whose name... All we have on her is Sigourney Weaver playing a villain named Alexandra. We've got a quote from the showrunner. Let me get down to it. Showrunner Marco Ramirez says, "Sigourney is the kind of person you can buy as the smartest person in the room, who you can also buy as a person holding a flamethrower. Hmm. Her character is a very powerful force in New York City. She's everything Sigourney is, sophisticated, intellectual, and dangerous."
Yes.
He goes on to say, "I can't describe too much about her, but I can say that we knew it had to be some, or the threat the Defenders are all up against. We knew it had to be something big. We knew it would take something massive to pull these four characters from their individual worlds to work together, but also small enough that it felt like it existed in our world, like the Netflix street-level world. It needed to be a crisis that brought these people together, but it still needed to be a very street-level crisis. That's the world we're dealing with, so it couldn't be anything too sci-fi or too supernatural or too big. That's the stuff for the movie." So I know that's a long quote. Thanks for bearing with me.
It fits into your theory, though, from like before when you were saying IGH.
IGH. Yeah. I think she's probably the CEO of IGH, or she works with IGH, because that would explain Jessica Jones, why she's going to Midland. Because so here's the other thing. Let me back up. Sorry, I'm so excited about this.
Okay.
The EW revealed that the four Defenders seem to meet up for the first time at the giant pit that we saw in Daredevil 2, where Daredevil and Elektra fought the Hand and all that stuff, and it's bottomless, and Daredevil never heard the bottom of it, whatever. So all four of the Defenders, on their own, following their own breadcrumbs, end up here around the same time. Then the Hand attacks, and they all have to fight their way out of it. Apparently, there's a massive hallway scene with all four of the Defenders
hugest
fighting.
The hallway ever.
I have not heard about that.
For real. Like, no, for real.
Man, I want the hallway scene.
I didn't copy down the quote from Charlie Cox, but the quote from him was, he showed up on set that day, not fully knowing what they were going to do. Then he saw the hallway and the other three Defenders there, and he's like, "Well, this is going to be a long day."
Oh, that's amazing.
What if they walk into the hole and gravity changes that they're walking on the side of it, and the hole is just a giant hallway?
Oh, my God. It would be amazing. And the other thing he said about the hallway scene and just the fighting in general is that they had to keep in mind all their personalities. They couldn't just, like, make cool fight scene. They also had to consider their personalities. Jessica Jones is the wild card. She doesn't want to be there. She's only just trying to track down these clues. So I don't know that she's constantly trying to escape, but she's just like the wrecking ball. She's like, "Just get out of my way. Punch, 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 whatever." Danny Rand and Daredevil are both the offense. Like, you know, Daredevil's all his fight acrobatics and brawling. Yeah. Then Iron Fist is...
We'll find out.
Super duper kung fu ninja with an Iron Fist. And they said it was fun to find ways for him to just like constantly be using this like hammering fist in the fight scenes with these other three who don't have that. And then Luke Cage is the defense and the shield.
Where he walks up.
"Get behind me. Tank, go."
I can't, my brain can't handle the idea of the four of them in a hallway. Like, for some reason, that's like the most exciting news I've heard in years.
I know. Yes. It's so fun. So,
oh man.
Anyway, going back to Sigourney Weaver, who we just saw the picture of,
She's fighting the whole way too.
She's the smartest person in the room, and she's also holding a flamethrower. Like, so she's unhinged and crazy. She's also the smartest person in the room, which makes her supremely dangerous.
Man.
Like, she's like, I know how to kill you 1,000 different ways. Screw it. Here's a flamethrower. Like, I love it. So,
how about if her and Mariah ever got together?
Oh, my God. It would be so bad. So, but I do think that a lot of it's going to be wrapped around IGH. Maybe there's like a drug they're trying to flood the streets with that's turning people into superhumans. It's like mutant growth hormone, MGH. Maybe it's inhuman growth hormone. I don't know. Like, I hope that that's not it. I've never seen what IGH actually stands for. It kind of makes sense, though. But well, I doubt that that's what they're doing
the,
with it.
It's the company name, and that name has been around longer than inhumans have that's been part of the universe. That's also true.
But maybe they knew, they've known about inhumans for years because they're the hand, whatever. Don't know. But I think that they're probably somehow wrapped up with the hand. I think the hand maybe controls IGH, like it's a subsidiary of the hand, like it's a shadowy organization, whatever.
It's going to be a fun old time.
I wonder if, I'm thinking, what if the whole, like, leads to Kunlun in some way?
Oh, it'd be so cool! But and that's the other thing, we don't know what Danny Rand's storyline is, so we don't know why he's there, except he's probably exploring a breadcrumbs of the hand, because he's absolutely familiar with the hand.
Right.
Like, in Kunlun, he's absolutely familiar with the hand. Daredevil's familiar with the hand, so that explains why the two of them are there. Jessica Jones, unless she's, like, being a private eye and following, like, someone's death or disappearance, and that leads her there.
Right.
My guess is that she's investigating IGH on her own, and Luke Cage, who just found out about his, like, super strength, whatever else, with Claire Temple, I think he was able to track it down to IGH. I can't remember exactly.
Maybe,
but
following the chemicals.
Yeah, I think he probably ends up finding out his powers come from IGH. So that would explain why all four of them are there. Two with the hand, two with IGH. Oh my God, they're working together. Defenders.
As long as it's not all. Yeah, I'd be okay with two IGH, just not all. Because, like, I don't want to go Amazing Spider-Man and two Oscorp.
Yeah. Nor do I. We have a lot of quotes about how they work together, with Cox saying, Charlie Cox, who plays Matt Murdock, saying, "What a bunch of misfits," in a great way. It's like a misfit Scooby gang. They don't belong together. Yeah. He also says, "From what we've shot so far, they just wanted to really make a difference and help people out." Jeff Loeb had a great quote about him, saying, "The Defenders didn't have a D on their belt buckles and a Defenders Tower. We agreed from the very beginning that these folks could, at the very end, go, 'I never want to see your face again,' and just walk away." So, like, where the Avengers are like, "We've got Avengers Tower, we've got a secret base up in New York, and we all live there, and we all go fight crime together." These guys are like, "Oh my God, I've got to fight with Luke Cage again? Okay, I guess we've got to do that."
You're like, that guy's like a brick wall sometimes.
Yeah, but I think my favorite quote about their teaming up came from Kristen Ritter, who said, "No one's best friends in all of the Defenders. This is a reluctant team up." I love that. I think that's great. Let's go ahead and look at this picture real quick, Doom. So we're looking at a picture of the four Defenders standing in front of, like, what looks like a moving truck or a cargo truck of some sort, and they've written "Public Enemies," slashed it out with Defenders. So, and they're all like, I think it's like very good, like, every single character is in a pose that I think tells us about their character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Luke Cage is just, like, chilling, just like, "What? Like, come at me. Like, you can't hurt me. Like, come at," like, he's just chilled. Daredevil's ready for action, like, loosening his tie, like, "All right, are we gonna do this?"
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Jones was the one spray painting. She's like, "Oh, I got caught, whatever, screw you guys." And then Danny Rand is, like, on the others. And I love that they bookended the two in the middle with the two on the outside, because the two on the outside are the heroes for hire. And he's like, he's just poised for action. Like, "I'm trying to chill, but I'm also on my feet and I can jump and,"
yeah, he's, you know, at his kick readiness your butt at level.
Yeah.
It also looks like a freaking comic, man. Like, it also just looks like a comic cover. It does. Like, that looks so like good. I'd buy that book.
And did you notice the truck number at the very top, 616?
Oh! Nicely done.
Well, speaking of, you buy this book, do you guys hear about the new Defenders series?
Oh, yeah, the new Defenders comic book is actually going to be these four, which has never been. It's never actually been that.
Yeah,
so.
No. Like, before it was like Netflix's The Defenders. Now it's like, oh, no, wait, this exists now.
Charlie Cox said he went out when he, like, first took the role or knew about The Defenders. He, like, went and picked up a copy of The Defenders and was like, "Wait a minute, Daredevil's not
Daredevil isn't in the show. Yeah, where do I show up?" So talking real quick about Matt Murdock, he says it has been a couple months since the end of his season, and he's actually trying to not be a vigilante, because like, when he was a vigilante, he fell in love with a girl and she died.
Yeah.
So now he's like, "All right, well, I'm all about Karen Page. I have been for a while." Last time I did that, my girl died. I'm not going to do it anymore. But he described it as an addict. He's having a hard time giving it up. So we probably see him go out here and there, but only like under extreme circumstances. Yeah. So it seems like, I think maybe the hand makes a resurgence. There's a great picture of him. And love, I loved all the picture. The red, like, yeah, and the then colors. Luke Cage had yellow, mm-hmm. and Jessica Jones was purple, and Danny Rand was a little green. Here we see a picture of Danny Rand, played by Finn Jones, standing with Colleen Wing, Jessica Henwick. We know nothing about these two characters. Their series hasn't come out. There he is with the green, kind of yellowish green.
She's not in her white onesie.
onesie. We'll probably get a nod to that. Yeah. Jessica Jones in the purple, like above, living above the liquor store with, I think maybe she's holding a camera.
Yeah, she's holding a camera.
Luke Cage starts off in prison.
Yes.
Interesting.
He goes on to say, Mike Coulter says, he's doing his time. He's not in prison the whole time, obviously. That can't be a movie. So he probably gets out in the very first episode. But what he says about it, he's been able to come clean and deal with his past. And now that that's out of the way, I think we can give him a different approach to life. So all of his series was, I've got to stay hidden. I don't want to come out and be this hero because all the cameras will be on me. And then I'll have to go back to jail. Now he's, I've done my time. I'm out. This is my face. I'm kicking your ass. Like he's coming out of hiding. And I love that. And he describes himself as, I'm the guy with the wisdom. If you want to make sure something works, run it up the flagpole. Then he says, this is for Heroes for Hire. He says, we definitely want to pay homage to the fanboys, but we want to make it work. We want to make it make sense in this time period. So like, you know, not like the 70s, you know, right. Like that whole thing, you know. Yeah,
well, they didn't do that in the other one.
Yeah,
so.
And he says...
Except for that one flashback.
About Danny Rand.
Amazing that was a flashback.
Gorgeous flashback. Yeah,
about Danny Rand, he says he's a young guy. There's an exuberance that Iron Fist comes with that Luke Cage wants to temper a bit. So it's like wisdom uses versus youth. So mm-hmm. Danny Rand is, I can do these things and I'm an incredible martial artist.
Cute.
And punch, punch, punch and break, break, break. And Luke Cage is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't have to do it that way. There's a different way, you know. Yeah. So
he probably loses his mind when he first sees Misty Knight.
Yeah.
Are you guys, speaking of which, Marky, are you ready to lose your mind a little bit?
Wait, what? What? What?
Oh yes,
this one.
I love this picture. We've got Misty Knight played by Simone Missick.
And she's interrogating Jessica Jones.
And Jessica Jones is in cuffs, and you know she can break out of them. So you know she's just like, all right, let's talk.
I'll humor you for now, Misty Knight.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
You know that this scene is going to be so incredible between the two. It's like, what did Jessica Jones get arrested for? Maybe it was trespassing. Yeah. Maybe it was something as, you know, mystical as that. Or maybe it was she was pulling, you know, some Jessica Jones mess, and then Misty Knight's like, oh, you don't know me, but you're about to know me.
Yeah,
and
you're about to know me. Yeah, come with me, young lady. Let's see. It was Jessica Jones is still dealing with the aftermath of Kilgrave, but now she's also dealing with the success of her private eye firm, and she's not dealing with it well.
Well, no.
Like, more and more people are coming to her. She's got a lot of cases, and she's like, no. Please, just let me hide under the radar. Like, I don't want to be famous. Like, I need the work. Yes, thank you, but go away. she describes her relationship with Matt Murdock as cat and mouse. Don't necessarily know what that really fully means. Mm-hmm. Lastly, let's talk about Danny Rand, because we need to start wrapping up. Danny Rand is the one who really knows what's going on. This is Finn Jones talking about it. He knows how serious the situation is that they're up against. So, again, I think it's the hand and Kunlun. All of that stuff. And Danny Rand, he's the one that kind of drives the group to get, you know, the crap done. He says a different word, but we're not going to say that on our show. But I want to, let me see, where's this quote? So he talks about in Iron Fist, which we know nothing about except that it's Iron Fist story. Mm-hmm. He says, in Iron Fist, his series, he's so unwound because he doesn't know who he is. There's always so much confusion, and he's always on the brink of a total meltdown or totally annihilating something, someone, mainly himself. So he's got these powers, now he's in the real world, and he's like so confused as to what's going on and everything around him. He's just like lashing out and just decimating the world around him. There's always this high energy frenetic tension, but in Defenders, this series, he's definitely more responsible. He has ground, has drive. I'd say that's the key word for Danny in the Defenders. He drives all of the Defenders to get behind him to solve this issue, whatever it ends up being.
He'll gather them together, or at least be a part of... That's interesting, especially since we haven't met him yet.
Well, we haven't met him yet. We don't know what's going on in the series, but it's interesting to see his to hear what his arc is going to be in Iron Fist. He's like, oh, God, what's going on? Punch, 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 blow, 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 blow. Mm-hmm. And then it finishes like, okay, guys, check it out. Here's what's going on. Yeah. This is bad. Let's go defeat them.
I could see him being a bonding agent. You know, he's newer than he's the newer. Rest of them, so he still has that enthusiasm, that want.
Yeah. 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 So, anyway.
The character is just more excitable in general.
Yeah.
He's a joking kind
of
guy.
And all the rest of them who are like, the world's terrible.
All right. We definitely need to move on. If you want to see a lot more of those quotes, I wrote about it on Geek Girl Authority. You can also just like look it up all over the place. Like, every website ran with it. Screen Rant had a lot on it.
Like Screen Junkies News.
I think Collider and Slash Film, had the best write ups of it.
Marquee is Screen Junkies News as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You absolutely should. All right. Marquee, we don't have a lot of time left, let's run through some shout outs and everything else real quick.
Yeah, just real quick. Birthday shout out to my younger brother.
Happy birthday.
On yesterday. Baby McCarty. Well, no, Sunday. Yeah, Baby McCarty. Mm-hmm. He's 25. But shout out
baby
to
me.
So LP, also known as Isaac LaVon McCarty Jr., the fourth. Aww, happy
the
birthday.
Fourth. Whoa.
Yeah. I wanted to do a birthday shout out to Betty White because she's 95 years old.
Aww,
and it's 2017 and she's brightness and love itself. Yeah. So and then a birthday shout out to Eric Sabio's at E Sabio Sells, Florida's son, Parker. He turned 2 today.
Aww, yeah. Happy 2.
And I'm hoping he's named after the one true Spider-Man. Well, no, Miles is now actually in my heart as well. But Parker is important.
You also wanted to give a shout out to a man named Damien.
Damien.
Who ran into me around Christmas time.
Yes.
And
so,
we're going to try and have him come and sit on our Cosmic Couch.
Yeah, because shout out to that fan, Damien, because he found Matt Key this weekend. Remember, we had lost
him.
Not
this weekend.
Over the Christmas.
Over Christmas
he found break. Me. Yes. So he might be joining us on the show because he made an impression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. He's a hardworking, and his little girl was adorable.
Aw.
Very, very sweet. Very sweet family.
Awesome. Okay, so we have a couple of questions. It looks like we're... Okay, great. So from at Mother Joker, who do you think are the fan favorite characters from the classic comics? He's talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
On this. So,
from the classic comic? The classic comics are completely different from...
Yeah, I don't know those guys.
Well, so here are the classic comics. Charlie 27, Martinex from Pluto, who can shoot flame and ice at the same time. He's kind of an elemental...
Oh, like that new
Astro Vance Astro, who becomes Major Victory, I think. In the 31st century, they discover the frozen shield of Captain America, and he takes it up because he's like, even 1,000 years from now, Captain America is still a legend, and they're like, the shield of Captain America, he was real. I will hold his shield for him. And he kind of becomes like the Captain America of the 31st century, named Major Victory, I think is Major
Fantastic.
Victory. But Vance Astro, by the way, has one of the most tragic, like, he is Captain America, like his backstory is Captain America, but far worse.
Ooh.
So Captain America...
does he become a Nazi?
No. Captain America gets frozen and regenerated 25 years later, whatever it is. And now he's an Avenger, whatever. Vance Astro is shot into space and cryogenically frozen for a 1,000-year journey to Alpha Centauri.
Ooh, okay.
And he gets to Alpha Centauri 600 years after... Earth has discovered faster than light travel, and they've already been to Alpha Centauri for 600 years.
Mm.
So he lands 1,000 years after he's been frozen, thinking, I'm finally here and I'll tell Earth all that I found. Oh, hey, everybody that beat me here. Great. Yeah.
He's like,
why didn't you stop me?
He's like, hey, have you heard about MySpace?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody loves that.
Hey, have you guys ever heard about Facebook?
Yeah. Live journal?
Live journal. You guys heard about LJ? It's great. I actually love that character because it's so sad. It's just how useless your whole journey is now.
Man.
Like, they have 600 years of information over you. Like, it's so sad. Anyway, he was one of the originals. There's not a lot there. Like, Yondu Udonta was one of the originals.
Yeah.
So,
And he finally gets his mohawk in this next one. I'm very excited.
Yeah, full-on mohawk. yeah,
pretty stoked.
So
mohawks are awesome no matter what.
So, I don't know, the other the classics. Like, yeah. It's a weird one. Not a weird question. It's just like the comics themselves are very strange.
Cool. We have Michael Benson at MikeTheBeast92. Do you think Mr. Sinister is going to play a big part in Logan? Will we see him in a future trailer? Thanks, guys.
I hope we don't see him in a trailer.
Yeah.
I want Wolverine to go through something traumatic, and I kind of hope Sinister, in the comics, he's obsessed with the DNA of the Summers brothers. I think it'd be kind of cool if he's responsible for X-23.
Ooh. Sinister, that's kind of what I'm thinking happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, the genetics. I mean, he would, I think that makes complete sense.
At the end of the movie, and I think he should be the puppeteer behind X-23, and I think it'd be a cool way to tie into the other X-Men movies. So I hope we don't see him in the trailer, but I do think he'll be, maybe not screen time big, but importance big.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
Take Mr. Sinister in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Dalton, at Dalton W, could we ever see Hercules and the Greek gods in the MCU?
Probably not.
We've got so many characters.
I think it would be cool.
Yeah,
but, like,
I love that you love them.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
so,
yeah.
I mean, like, Wonder Woman kind of has that.
They've
covered.
Kind of got that on lock. Like,
yeah.
And it looks great.
I think if there's any opportunity, Thor Ragnarok, it's either Thor Ragnarok or nothing.
Like, yeah.
Like, running into Herc in the ring.
Yeah, but then they've got Celestials.
They also have to explain why Hercules to the everyday audience is a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, not to be confused with Kevin Sorbo.
I mean, Thor is. They're both from mythology.
But they're both from mythology, but Thor is like a Norse mythology. So now you're saying, so wait, both mythologies
are...
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's just a lot.
That's a lot to do.
I think it'd be cool, but I don't... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see it, personally.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman with Ares and stuff. There was the rumor that Danny Houston might be that, so that's cool.
Confirmed.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Awesome.
That he's
who?
He's
who? Awesome.
Ares. Ares and Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
That's rad.
Yeah. That's cool.
But I didn't know it was confirmed that Danny was definitely it.
That's cool.
Check,
all right.
Check out DC Movie News from last Thursday.
Okay. So Lewis Cox at Lewis 1022. What does the rumor about Sony being bought out by CBS mean for Spider-Man?
I actually haven't even heard that rumor.
I haven't heard that either.
But I don't either. I don't think that CBS could actually afford to buy all of Sony.
Yeah, like, it seems like one
like maybe CBS, like, I mean, maybe Viacom? Like, CBS is a...
I don't know.
A subsidiary of Viacom, I think? Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe
that's like a merger at that point. Those two companies are massive.
Yeah, they're way too big. I don't know anything about that rumor. I'm sorry. I don't know what it would mean for Spider-Man. But
Sony Entertainment, maybe, as a separate entity. Not Sony as a whole.
Yeah, but I can't see Sony Entertainment, like Sony being like, no, take Sony Entertainment. Like, I don't know.
That stuff happens. It happened recently with, like smaller companies, but, like, big enough, like multi-million-dollar companies that have a TV division and a film division, and then they become completely different companies because of just how you separate things.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We've got some comments, and then we're going to wrap up and get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, we've already seen two of the pictures. It was Tim's and Matthew's.
Tim Chapman, I like that. I don't think that that's what they're going to do, but if they did that, I think that would be cool.
Oh, I'm sorry, and then I think I gave props to the wrong person. Matthew Dennis at MattDennis214 was the one that sent us the Black Panther
Matt Dennis.
Figurine collage. So thank you for that. And then, Stephen J. Piccarello at Sterling Mont sent us a collection of cardboard cutouts, including Doctor Strange.
What? Is this his collection?
I'm not certain. He said, I saved the best for last. Sorry, guys. And it's this where it's a...
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's a Doctor Strange cutout in the middle, and he looks fantastic.
And he's standing next to Martin Freeman.
Matt, I didn't know you were posing for cardboard cutouts.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Or it's his only thing. That's Martin Freeman.
That is Martin Freeman. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Little
and then there's an R2-D2 way in the back.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
fun. It's Watson and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's a confusing crossover.
Yeah, but it's fun. So those are some of the... Well, we saw the pictures.
Doctor
that we
Sherlock, yeah. That's great. All right.
So,
let's wrap it up. Doom. Last show.
I know.
How do you feel, buddy? You okay? You all right? I'm not okay. I'm gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss you guys. Like this.
This show has meant
a lot to me. You guys, the fans are amazing. I'm gonna seriously miss doing this every week. It has been a big part of my life for a year now.
Yeah. And it's been great to have you.
And like we said at the top, I'm not going completely away. I'm going to send in my shield minutes. but I'm unfortunately going to be working during the show. If you missed last week's show, I'm starting, I've already started. I'm going to be over at Geek and Sundry, working behind the scenes on some of their Twitch content. And so you'll be able to maybe see me working around the cameras and stuff over there. So now...
Good work, Jim. Good work.
Fantastic.
Parting thoughts. I dropped my headphones.
I'm still attached. Yeah. Zoom didn't think that was
enough. Bye, dude.
But yeah,
thank you for everything.
Thank you, guys. Find me on Twitter or Instagram at @ZachWilson, ZACH. And my one last plug. I haven't announced it on the show. I have a comic book.
That, it looks great. You showed me it before we left for holidays. Yeah. It looks great.
Thank you. We released it. It's on Comixology now.
Sick, dude.
So you can go.
That's so amazing.
It's only 99 cents because it's a short one. It's like 10, 11 pages. But yeah, it's available now. It's on my Twitter profile. It's just called Kid Cop. It's ridiculous. It's silly. It's very violent.
Yeah, I love it.
But,
it looks great.
Check it out. And if you do, this is a parting gift to me, maybe. Hit a similar review. We only have one review so far. So if you buy, let us know what you think. And
that's awesome.
The rating on Comixology is a great way to help.
That's awesome.
Find it. Kid Cop.
Kid Cop. All right. Koi, you had something that you wanted to say?
A couple people sent us, it was a bit of news.
Yeah.
A couple people sent us a thing about the rumor that the production designer for Infinity War said there are multiple worlds in the movie.
Yeah.
Basically
makes
a quote
sense.
Explaining that much like Doctor Strange, there's a lot of worlds. I just wanted to thank you guys for that. We'll actually go over that. There's a quote, so we'll go over that next week. It seems exciting, and we could probably vamp on it a bit more and talk about it. And also the rumor that Eva Green is in talks for Death.
Yes.
And
what?
I that right? would make me. I couldn't think of a better death.
Thanks, Eddie Brock, for that one.
Yeah, because she is like this amazing dark sexuality that would drive both Thanos and Deadpool insane, which I totally understand. So yeah, I love that idea in that casting rumor. That's perfect.
Where's the casting rumor coming from? Do you know?
Cosmic News, have run some fairly credible stuff. It started on Reddit, which concerns me, but you know. The internet. But yeah, I love both those ideas, and I wanted to give a quick shout out for you guys for sending them. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And my shout out will be that I'm on TV Fights today. So I'm going to go get my TV fight on right after this. And I'm only going to do one Marvel thing, but I got to do one. It's going to be exciting. So I will talk to you guys then if you watch TV Fights, and I'll see you next week.
All right. Markia, anything?
Oh, for just regular...
Hi, I'm Markia.
Hi, yeah. I guess I'm
Darth Thinmance or whatever, like... who are you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. hey, everybody, welcome to Marvel New Minute Movie.
Yeah.
I'm Matt Key.
Sorry, I was trying to read the article. The past weekend, I went to the Sailor Moon R premiere.
I had so many friends go to that.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
Marvel Sailor Moon, very important.
Yeah, I've got pictures on my Twitter, which you can find at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and improv things in general. If you're in the Hollywood area and, you know, you want to see some live comedy on Thursday, my team Big Yellow Taxi is going to be doing its Taxi Cab Confessions Meets Improv.
So fun. I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'll put that on Twitter.
And I'm Matt Key. You follow me there. And I have not been tweeting over the holidays. Like, I took a social media break, but I guess I've got to get back to it now. Ugh, my life. I got nothing.
I'm going to tweet my cross-country journey. If I end up in a place where any of you Marvelites are, I'm going to run into you on the streets.
That's awesome.
And I won't be here next week because of said journey, so...
Oh, yeah, I won't be here next week.
No, either. I know. Jim won't be here. It'll be me by myself.
Oh, but I do need to answer because the chat is asking. Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'll still be on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show.
Perfect.
On AfterBuzz TV.
Great.
Oh,
great.
I'm glad you have time for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Well, that makes sense for you.
To the middle of the night when we tape that.
And Vegito247, thanks. Darth Thinmints is my Snapchat.
Yeah.
So, yeah. When I put stuff up there.
All right, let's wrap this extra long show up.
It
was Doom's last show. In honor of Doom. Extra long, super duper awesome show. All right. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye to Doom. We'll miss you guys next week, but I'll be here holding the fort down by myself. talking about God knows what. All right, good night, everybody!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
Doom demands more tweets!